Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and boy, do we have sports to talk about. Let's jump right in. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Tyler Scott in the box today. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show, you know the number for that, and you can also watch us on the Twitch channel. All you have to do is go to twitch.tv/ESPN975. And you can comment there and hear what goes on during the breaks. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. And let's get it rolling. Hoffman, what's going on?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you, buddy?
Mostly sports today.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It is a sportsy day. Fun weekend. A lot of people gave me grief a couple weeks ago when I was talking about... Everyone thinks that I hate James Harden, which I really don't. I just know how the James Harden story ends, and I've known for a long time. And people are, oh, I guess you see the future. Well, yes. In fact, I did see the future on this. I saw exactly how this would go down, and here we are. And Mike D'Antoni's gone. I guess not a shock to any of us. It's a little bit of a shock that if you believe what they're saying, that it's a mutual decision to part ways, which basically means his contract was up. The Rockets had no interest in keeping him, and he had no interest in returning.
Yeah, so, I'm sure he's had enough of James Harden. So,
but I do believe
the mutual thing.
I would also guess if the Rockets said, "Hey, we'll give you two more years at the same rate you just got," then Mike D'Antoni would suddenly become interested again.
Maybe so.
That's just my guess.
It's funny because my column for Wednesday that I wrote is about how we're just stuck in the time loop from the end of Doctor Strange with our Houston teams.
Pretty much.
The Rockets are always going to be this, right? Until they decide, hey, you know what? We're going to move Harden and try something different. This is what they're going to be. New coach. They'll bring in new players around him. They'll try again next year. They'll get the same result. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it really doesn't matter. Their one time was the time that they had a chance, Chris Paul's hamstring, that was it. The rest of the time, it's been the same thing. And they've got to do something different. Otherwise, this is all, people are going to lose interest in this. It's the same damn thing. And the Texans are the same damn thing too. Let's be perfectly honest. I mean, yeah, they'll win some games where you say, oh wow, maybe Deshaun Watson, maybe they're going to get there. And then when they play a really good team, they get their ass kicked and they're back to being, none of these teams suck.
No.
They're just never going to get where they need to get. Yeah. And it's never
going to
change.
They're all somewhere between being good enough to win championships and mediocre.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Although, the Astros did win a championship, and we have to remember.
They had to cheat to do it, though. So.
Well, we don't like to talk about that. but they did win one, so I got to give them credit. But now,
don't you kind of feel like they've slidden? They've slid into that whole mediocrity thing, too? Slightly mediocre?
Oh, no, they are very mediocre, right? This is the kind of thing that... It's flying under the radar now because the Rockets basically just died. And the Texans got embarrassed, and football is back, but none of that really matters. So the Astros don't really matter anymore because here's the real reason why they don't really matter. The Astros, the team that we're seeing in 2020, they're not a good baseball team. We've seen enough of a sample size now to go, oh, they're off to a slow start. No, they're just not very good, and it's not. I mean, do they have potential to be better? Sure. But guess what? So does about, 29 out of the... I mean, almost everybody has potential to be better.
Almost every team that's going to make the playoffs has potential to be better.
But this is in no way... It's not even close to what they've been the last 3 years. This is a...
This is 2015 Astros before they were ready to win the whole thing.
No, yeah, but it doesn't. It feels like it's going in the opposite direction.
But that was ascending. And yeah. It felt fun. Because,
they're about the same. They're about the same spot on the scale.
Yeah,
they're just heading in a different direction, and there's and that's what sucks about it now, because at least in 2015 you were like, oh yeah, there's hope. It's coming. You feel it coming. With this team, you're like, I don't know if I feel it coming. I feel like it could go back to where the Astros become like this irrelevant baseball team that, I mean, you remember when we first started working together and how like we would sometimes just go weeks without addressing the fact that the Astros were playing baseball games every day?
I think that's where we're headed.
It very well could be. And that's a real thing. There was a time in Fred and I's, in the history of our show, where we would be on for weeks at a time during baseball season and not mention the Astros once, because they were completely irrelevant.
And when we did, you could hear the radios being turned off around the city.
And I don't know that we're there yet, because I think there's still people who had enough expectation and hope coming into this season that they're still hanging on to something. And they're going to make the playoffs more than likely at this point. 2 weeks ago, I was like, it's okay if they suck. They'll still make the playoffs. Now I'm like, I think they'll make the playoffs.
They should make the playoffs.
Like maybe the Mariners come back down to earth. Maybe they'll make the playoffs. I don't know. I assume they're going to make the playoffs, but I guess it's no lock at this point. But that's the difference between the Texans and the Astros. When the Texans suck, when they're 2-14, we don't go a day without talking about them.
Right.
Because everybody wants to discuss, why do they suck? What can they do to get better? Whereas the Astros, when they're garbage, nobody even wants to talk about it. It's not a discussable topic.
It's, you know, they bought a lot of goodwill with the title. I think they lost a lot of goodwill with the scandal.
Yep.
And I think they're
back to square one.
Yeah, they're kind of back to what they've been for.
And if they were back to square one and playing good baseball, we'd be happy with it. And the people of Houston would be happy with it. But because they're playing poor baseball, the people of Houston are like, meh, whatever. And it's funny, because when I was a kid, the Astros were always such a huge deal in this town. Whether they were good or bad, everybody talked about the Astros. That was kind of, I guess the NFL may have been bigger back then. I don't know. It was the transition age between baseball was the biggest sport in the country and football was becoming the biggest sport in the country. And even though this is football country, it's also baseball country.
Yeah.
And the Astros have always been a big deal here, but that's changed now with the skyrocket of the NFL. Now, if the Astros aren't good, people just don't care about them.
Yeah. It's funny how it works. And, you know, we were talking about it in the meeting this morning, how we don't have the Astros to really help drive traffic for SportsMap right now, because people just, you know, they don't care. And, you know, we'll get to all the NFL. Like at 5 o'clock, we'll go through all the games. There was a lot of really good stuff yesterday. I disagree respectfully with our president, who says football's boring. I thought there was some fun stuff that happened.
What an odd thing to say. Yeah. I mean, it's literally the most popular game in the country that you lead. And to say that it's absolutely, like, I can get, if the president says, I'm tired of seeing player demonstrations, I don't like it, it's boring, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're basically saying, because you don't like the previews, that the movie's no good.
Right.
What? No, that's not how sports works. And with the NBA, it's been a little bit different, because in the NBA, it's constant. It's on their jerseys. It's on every commercial
see. It's almost lost its effectiveness because.
Yes. But with the NFL, I mean, they have their little pregame thing and then they play football. And I don't know about you. I still like to watch football. Not boring.
I sure had a nice day yesterday watching. And Saturday, too. There were a couple of college games. I never thought I would be locked in on Louisiana and Iowa State watching that game.
Under cash.
But. Yeah, I'm watching it going, man, they're outplaying these guys. I mean, Iowa State doesn't even, I mean, if you just flip the jerseys, you'd think that Louisiana was Iowa State. And I'm watching this game going, oh, this is fun.
I feel like the Big 12 this weekend was like, oh, we should have just done what the Big 10 and Pac-12 did.
You know what,
we made a mistake.
Can I, and I want to maybe spend the first hour here, at least a couple segments, letting people weigh in on the Rockets and what they think they should do so we can kind of put them to bed, but we got plenty of football to get to over the last couple hours. But really cool that Houston and Baylor are going to play Saturday. I love the way that came together. The they both, like, Memphis had to bail on Houston because they've got COVID problems. And Baylor had the same problem with, I think, Louisiana Tech was who they were supposed to play. So they got together, and their opener will be Saturday. It'll be Houston at Baylor. And, you know, that's, I think we might see a few more of these before it's all said and done. But I think it's really cool that they got that game together and said, hey, why not just play each other? That's one. I think that's kind of one positive to the Rona, because we wouldn't have seen that game otherwise. And as a UH fan, I'm kind of excited about it. And I like Baylor, too. So, you know, to me, it'd be more fun to see UH play Baylor than it is Memphis, even though that's a conference game. So, you know, props to those guys. I hope it doesn't get canceled, because it seems like, well, there were three canceled last week, I think, or postponed, they say. But I think that's good. And then yesterday in the NFL, man, there were some fun games, there were some dog games, but it was the NFL, and I was not bored. I tell you who I felt worse for.
I was happy.
Tell you who I felt worse for, though. The poor kid for the Lions dropping that ball.
Well, that's pretty Lions.
Was that not the most Lion thing ever? You know, you blow the lead, then you come back, and you got a chance to win it at the end. And honestly, I don't know how you dropped that. That's about as easy a catch as you're going to have. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And if you want to weigh in on the Rockets, I have some thoughts on that, too, and AJ does as well. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz.
Mike says, if it's boring to the president, what's it matter to you? Lots of people find football boring. Actually, Mike, that's wrong. Most people in this country enjoy football. And if you are too dense to see that the president is doing nothing but playing to probably people like you who are so against any kind of...
I'm done with football.
Oh, yeah. I'm boycotting the NFL. That's all it is. He's just playing to those dopes. Like... If you really think the president, and I don't know if the president, like, I've always said, I don't know if I believe the president actually likes sports. I don't know if he cares about sports at all, whatever. But the only reason he's now saying that the NFL is boring is because of it. I mean, otherwise, go search his timeline. Look for him talking about the Patriots and his, like, the guy tweets about football. Now, all of a sudden, it's boring. Oh, the game must have just changed so much. You know, I guess maybe the less drama now that they've added that extra playoff team. So the president just doesn't see the intensity in it anymore. So he's out on it. Don't be a sucker. You know why he said it. He doesn't find it boring. He's playing to folks like you.
But the people he's playing to that are saying, yeah. Yeah, but they don't realize it.
Are those guys really not watching football? If you're like a dude who doesn't like Black Lives Matter, and I don't care if you like it or not, one way or the other, it doesn't matter to me because it doesn't matter to me one way or the other, but Black Lives Matter. But if that's why you don't like it, are you really going to boycott football? Because that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense, because at what point do you say, okay, well, now I'm not going to watch this TV. I'm not going to watch this channel. I'm not going to watch. Are you just going to deprive yourself of everything you love because somebody might disagree with you on something? That just seems like a really odd way to go through life.
Yeah, I don't know that people actually love it that are doing that. I think they just, you know. But yeah,
I'll only play fantasy. I'm not going to watch the games. I'm just going to keep track of the numbers and fill out my lineup. Well, that's it. I'm not watching these games, man. They won't get my hard-earned dollars that I pay for NBC and CBS on my antenna. Dude, I don't even believe the people who are saying that are not watching football. I don't believe it. If you love football, you don't care about the politics crap of it, because I sure don't.
I'll tell you the same thing that I've told everybody last week. Don't bother watching the anthem.
Yeah. You know,
that's it. I never have.
The anthems I saw this weekend? Not one.
Me either. I always wait till the game starts, till it's 12:01 and the ball's kicked off. I've always done that for my entire life, so it's nothing new. So if it bothers you who's sitting and who's not, don't read the stupid stories about it and don't watch the anthem. And guess what? You know what you'll see? Football. It's all good. He says, do you see a time when esports will be bigger than football? Right now, kids are not playing outside. Not in a revenue standpoint. It's probably bigger in terms more people are. First off, I wish you wouldn't call it esports. I know that's the name of it, but it's not sports.
Did he say right now kids are not playing outside?
Yeah.
What kids aren't playing outside?
Mm.
Like, both my kids played baseball this weekend. My son's best friend had a football game this weekend. Like, they're. Yeah, kids are playing outside.
Yeah.
It's not going away. I know. Video games are fun. They're not going to get rid of sports.
No. I mean, and, you know, I think it's always going to be a niche thing, just like poker is. And I love poker. And I'm one of the guys who sit there and watch poker tournaments late at night on TV. And I think you'll always have kids who will grow up and still watch video gamers. But it's not like... You know, let's quit acting like that's going to replace. It's not sports. It's just like poker isn't sports. It's gaming and it's fun, all about it, but it's not the real thing. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that,
right?
But it's also not ever going to be something that the entire country stops on Sunday. Well, not the entire country because ratings were down, but the 30 million people are going to stop on Sunday and watch. So, But I'm kind of curious because I've seen a lot of names thrown out for the Rockets. What head coach is going to make a difference here? I mean, are you really going to get more offense out of this team than you did with D'Antoni? I'm just curious. I
don't know
what you think.
I mean, I think it's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough for another coach to take this team, this roster, and do something more with it. And I'm not saying that they're not right to get rid of him, because I mean, we've seen the ceiling, but I'm just saying he's not the only problem. And he, like, getting rid of him is not fixing the problem.
The problem is what you've been saying for years. If James Harden is your best player, you're never winning a
yes.
title. And I think that I'm pretty sure Tillman wouldn't mind cutting the salary by making that kind of trade, but you're not going to get value back. But maybe you rebuild the draft picks a little bit, and maybe you take a step back. You keep Westbrook, because I don't think you can get rid of both of them. And you know, you're still kind of a borderline playoff team, and you just kind of rebuild slowly and kind of fall into where the Texans are.
Yeah,
you know, you just make the playoffs every year and then you don't go anywhere. But that's kind of what they are now. So is it really a big deal that you won one round of the playoffs in seven games?
It's not a big deal. I mean, like, there's no way you can look at this season for the Rockets and say it's anything other than a failure.
Well, I mean, I think not based on my expectations. This is where I thought they would go. So based on the expectations, no, it wasn't a failure. Based on what their expectations were, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody in this room thought, oh, they're winning a title.
You also agree we were in the minority. Like, yeah. Most everybody else thought they were a title. At least they were in that second tier of title contenders. Most people would say Lakers, like, going into the bubble. Let's forget preseason. Going into the bubble, it was basically everyone thought it was Lakers, Clippers, or Bucks. And then it would, like, if you went down to a second tier, most people had, and I think Vegas had, the Rockets at the top of that second tier. It was like Rockets, Raptors, Celtics. I forget who else, but I mean, that was the start of the next group.
Yeah, and that's kind of where they wound up, right? I mean, sort of in that group. I mean, the Raptors made it to, I guess they were a game short of making it to the conference finals, but they went out the same round.
But they at least competed.
Yeah. The Rockets competed for one game. Come on, man.
The Rockets did exactly what the Trailblazers did. They won a game and everybody went, oh, the Lakers are overrated. I told you guys, LeBron's old man. He's washed up. And then LeBron proceeded to just Odell Beckham Jr. him for, you know, the rest of the series.
Was that a poop reference?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. I think that most people thought that the Rockets would at least be competing for a spot in the conference finals. And while they made it to that round, they didn't compete.
No.
I think that's why I would say it was a disappointment.
And I think we talked about it before the series. My opinion of this team, I mean, I didn't think they were going to win that series, but if they had at least been competitive in it, you might have felt better about the season. Because the gap between where they need to be and where they are, and let's not, I mean, I think this was going to be, no offense to the Lakers or the Clippers, but this was going to be the easiest path for somebody else this year. Because you are going to have the Warriors back next year. Guess what? I think the Mavericks are going to be pretty damn good next year. I think there's an up arrow next to the Suns. It's not going to be as easy as it's been. And it wasn't going to be any easier than it is now or than it was this year. So I think, you know, for me, yeah, they were pretty much what I thought they were. They never did. Yeah, I kept giving them time to say, hey, let's maybe these guys learn to play together. Maybe they figure it out. They never did. So, and you kind of knew that. In fact, they were playing their worst basketball before the Rona struck. And then they came back and had some good games in the bubble. But at no point did they ever look like the team that you could say, hey, this is what they can be. Larry asked me if the season ended today, the Stros would play the Sox in the playoffs. Ask AJ if he would bet his Sox over the Astros.
The White Sox over the Astros?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I probably would too.
But yeah, they've got two frontline pitchers.
But
the Astros' best pitcher apparently now stinks. Yeah. Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
And their other best, they're talking about, by the way, this is the dumbest thing. The Astros talking about ramping up Justin Verlander so he can have one regular season start before the playoffs. Don't do that. You're not winning the World Series this year. Just let him heal the right way. Don't rush him back for one. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Break his arm. He's got until February to get it together again. Come on.
I don't get it.
I bring him back, and if he's not right, then yeah, you don't rush him. But that's one where you gotta trust your guy a little bit. But if he thinks he can pitch, give him a shot. What's the worst that could happen? He blows up his arm, doesn't pitch for you next year.
I mean, that would suck.
It would suck, but you know, I don't know that next year is going to be all that much better at this rate. So, but getting back to the Rockets, I see Jeff Van Gundy's name thrown out. I don't see a single name, Ty Lue, guys like that. I don't see names that excite me because I don't think there's a difference maker as a coach. It's just basically got to be someone who does what Harden says, unless you move Harden. And I saw our buddy Jong tweeted out, Harden to the Warriors for Clay and the number two pick, and you're like, why would the Warriors do that? If I'm the Rockets and the Warriors called and offered me that, I'd do it in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Because then you could take Wiseman with that second pick and have some size, and you got a pretty good backcourt. But realistically, I think it's going to have to be some team like the Knicks that wants a star. And what do they have? I mean, that's going to help you. And I guess it really doesn't matter at this point because I don't see him doing anything other than, hey, let's put some different guys around Russell and James and a new coach and, you know, just kind of repaint the thing. And it's just not going to get you anywhere.
Yep.
But we'll take some calls on that when we come back. Let the people weigh in. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Picture this. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. It's weird. A lot of people text the show that are watching on Twitch, but they send texts. A couple people asked me where I got the zebra t-shirt. Kind of a funny story. A friend of mine texted me, said, "Hey, are you watching Cobra Kai? This is like the greatest thing ever." And I, because she's from the 80s too. And I just said, too much teen angst for me. But the one cool thing was at the end, Johnny Lawrence was wearing a Zebra concert shirt. And I had that shirt back in the day. And it's like, I love that shirt. And I still have it somewhere, but it obviously there's no way it fits me now because, you know.
Because time.
I'm a little fatter.
Time marches on.
And then Saturday, this showed up on my doorstep. And she just bought it for me, found it online and bought it for me.
Well, look at you.
So I'm like, cool. Thank you.
You going to make love to her now?
No.
As a repayment? I think that's what she's hoping for.
Let's just say she and I like the same things.
Oh.
Yeah. So let's squeeze in a call. Mark. You're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing sports. Mark, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to talk about my Rockets, man. Hey, I wear a fear came to, you know, came to fruition when Anthony Davis started playing like an MVP. That was West Fear. What do you think about that fear, AJ?
I mean, I think the worst fear the Rockets could have had was that Anthony Davis started playing like a 6'11" guy with, you know, who's a physically dominant force. Like, their worst fear was he was going to start playing like that, and he did. He started playing around the rim instead of being the bizarro Anthony Davis that likes to chuck up three-pointers. Once they figured out, oh, if we just give it to Anthony Davis near the basket, he'll have his way with whatever knucklehead, you know, 6'4" guy the Rockets throw at him, and that's absolutely what happened. The Rockets painted themselves into a corner where they have one way to play. And against the Lakers, if that's your one way to play, you good luck. You better hit 50 threes in a game. And they just couldn't.
Houston media critic says Popovich would be a dream for the Rockets.
Well, of course.
But why would he want to come here? You know what?
Yeah. The guy's like thinking about retiring, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to get away from a team where I'm incredibly respected. Everyone treats me like I'm a king. I've won multiple championships, and I'm going to go to Houston where they're going to basically let James Harden walk all over me, even though James Harden has done like 2% of the things I've done in my NBA career. I'm going to let him walk all over me because he's James Harden. Greg Popovich wants no part of working for James Harden like these other guys have.
Here's a name for you if you want a little Popovich. Becky Hammon.
I don't think that would work.
I don't think it would either. James wouldn't stand for that, let's be honest.
No. I'll go ahead and put it out there now. I think whoever gets hired by the Rockets is going to be a young black guy.
Okay.
I think for many reasons. James is going to have a big say on who they get, obviously, unless they actually sack up and decide to move him. But two, I think just with the climate the way it is, I feel like the Rockets, that's going to be their way of saying, you know what, all right.
Yeah.
But I think James is going to have a lot of impact on who they get, and I think he's going to want a young guy who played in the league and that can be his buddy. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah, I think you're right. That'll let him do whatever the hell he wants to. And that's why I think the ceiling is limited for this team.
Ceiling is the roof.
Well, the roof is kind of like right where they got conference semifinals. So 713-780-ESPN. Excuse me. So Red Auerbach would work help well in Houston. Yeah, because he's dead. Then James could just do whatever he wants. James thinks he's LeBron. LeBron, you know, LeBron runs the Lakers too. Let's not.
Yes, but LeBron is also a guy that has proven you can basically put him with any coach, and if he's got a little help, he's going to win. James hasn't proven that.
Yeah, and it's also worked a couple times for James.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's called skins on the wall.
Yeah, he also, well, hell, James runs a league, let's be honest.
We have to stop even saying, well, this is how it works for LeBron. Anything where you say this is how it works for this player who has rings, you can't think of James as the same group. You can't. James shouldn't be treated like a guy who, like,
look, LeBron's
shouldn't have carte blanche because LeBron's he hasn't done anything.
LeBron's a better GM than James Harden is. That's simple. So, oh boy.
Maybe they should do with James what the Bucks are doing with Giannis. And, like, Maybe we'll keep you around. Maybe we'll trade you. I don't know. Okay, go on vacation, Giannis. Okay, that's weird. Giannis and James are in the same boat right now. Although, except Giannis has time. James doesn't. There's probably about 3 years of prime James Harden left, if that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem like he's getting closer.
No. Like, this team was not nearly as good as the last two have been.
No. And it's easy for us to look at Giannis and go, oh, man, that's a real disappointment. And it is. It's a failure that that's as far as they made it. And it's a knock on Giannis for sure. But then you also think, well, Giannis is basically a child. He's got plenty of time left to accomplish anything he might accomplish. Now, if 5 years from now, Giannis is still doing this, making early playoff exits and not showing any kind of push, then we could start to hammer him the same way we are James. But the difference is Giannis, you feel like there's still time for him to figure something out. And there's also the fact that, I mean, he's played with Chris Middleton. That's it. And it's not like he's had Dwight Howard or Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook. And it's also the fact that, remember that James picked those guys.
Yeah.
Like, James decided who he wanted to play with. And then when he's tired of not winning with them, he decides he wants them out. And I don't think that'll happen with Russ. But at this point, I don't think it matters. Because I don't think they're winning anything. So,
And I think that with the right coach, this is fantasy land talk, if Harden would actually listen, I think this could work. I mean, you could be a lot more effective. There's a way to play with these two guys and actually win basketball games in the playoffs. Now, I don't know that they have the right people around them. I think the complete small ball thing was a mistake. And if you are going to do that, get some guys who can make threes.
Yeah.
And I think at some point, it's Daryl Morey. You got to have a discussion about Daryl Morey. If Harden is going to be your guy and you're going to build around James Harden, then doesn't Daryl Morey have to get better players?
Well, and this is the other thing.
Or just players that fit better?
Well, that's the thing about Daryl. If, let's say you decide, like Daryl decides, you know what, this James experiment's not working, we're going to move on. I mean, shouldn't Daryl kind of just be handcuffed to him right now and leave with him? Because everything we've had since James was here was because Daryl said he could win with James. So,
can we trade them both?
I don't know.
Look, I like...
They should trade Daryl Morey to a Chinese team.
Ooh, I don't think that's going to go very well. Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Yeah, and listen, everybody's throwing out the same names, Cassells and Mario Elie and guys like
Cassell
that.
Cassell wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
It's a guy I'm sure they're going to look at.
That's the kind of...
That's what I mean, they could go with like a Tyronn Lue, who's a more...
Established.
Yeah, a guy who's done something. But it's going to be someone like that. It's not going to be a career coach.
So you're saying it's not going to be Jeff Van Gundy?
It's not going to be Jeff Van Gundy.
I don't think so either, although...
Or Stan Van Gundy.
Or Bob Van Gundy.
Or Greg Popovich.
Or Jeff Harbaugh.
None of those guys. Billy Donovan. It's none of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what direction they're going to go, but I just, it's not going to matter. I'm telling you now, whoever they bring in, it's not going to matter. They're gonna shuffle things around a little bit with the supporting cast. Again, it's not going to matter. This is what they are. And... If the Warriors had all these injuries 2 years ago, it might have made a difference. But at this point, I don't see much hope because I just don't think as long as James is there, he's going to run everything. And what coach is he going to listen to? Say, dude, my Adidas deal is worth more than you.
Yep.
And at some point, maybe you'd realize, hey, what we're not doing is not good enough. But how long have I been saying that about Bill O'Brien? It's just, you know, you've got to make changes. You've got to do things to get better. And James has tried at times. I mean, he worked on his defense. He actually played defense a lot better the last couple of years. But it's not enough.
No.
And putting new...
And we were sold that this was the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, not all of we... collectively, but the city of Houston was sold that this was the guy. And he's not. And either... I get that the Rockets are in a really tough spot now, because the alternative to just sucking it up and continuing with what they're going, like, the only other option is blowing it up and admitting James was never, he was never the guy we thought he was, and he's never going to turn into the guy we thought he was. So that's our bad. And that's a pretty, pretty, I mean, considering how much, I mean, what are we on, year eight? That's a lot of egg on the face to say that now. To come out now and go, yeah, you know, I just don't think he's, I don't think he's ever going to live up to what we thought he would. It's really, it's a tough call to make.
And a lot of people throwing Kelvin Sampson's name out there. I don't think that happening. I think Kelvin's pretty happy with where he is. Now, he might want his kid to get the job, but I would be surprised. I think it all depends. If it's Harden's choice, he's going to want one of those guys we just talked about. And it is Harden's choice. But do I think Kelvin would do a good job there? Absolutely. But frankly, would I want that headache? I mean, you got a pretty good gig. You're well paid. And, you know, you get to pick who you want. You don't have to worry about dealing with James Harden. And I think Kelvin's a better college coach than he is a pro coach. I mean, I know he never got a chance to be a head coach in the pros, but I just think he's made for college. And... but you know what? If he decided he wanted to try it, good luck. You know what would happen? Nothing any different than this year. Doesn't matter at all. Guys, I got a text from a friend of mine today. Said, hey, heard you talking about Harry's razors. So I went and got some Harry's razors. They're fantastic. And they've got their sharpest blades ever. That they've come out with their new blades. And guess what? They're still just $2 each. And I've been using Harry's for years now. I love it. That's why I come in clean shaven every day, thanks to my Harry's razors. And you can find their new sharper blades in big box drug and grocery stores near you. If you like to shop online, though, you can get a trial set for just $3. All you have to do is use code KFNC at checkout on harrys.com. It's that simple. And about a couple of months ago, I was wandering around one of the local pharmacies, and I saw Harry's there, and I was like, man, I've got to get me some Harry's razors. I did. And now I'm getting them back online, and it's just so much easier. And you can get their sharpest blades ever. Just head on over to the grooming aisle at any of those places. And if you like to shop online, like I do, Harry's has a great offer for listeners. New customers get $5 off a Harry's trial set with code KFNC at harrys.com. That includes a five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. $3 for some quality razors. Don't forget to use the code KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Which works really well if you're on the west side. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out yet, please do.
I think we signed on a presenting sponsor for 92.5.
Did we?
Believe so.
Nice.
I believe it's one of our old friends that we'll be talking to today around 6 o'clock.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah. Well, and yeah, I actually spent today reaching out to some people who were interested in advertising with us out in the Katy area and just couldn't hear us. And so touch base with them, and hopefully we're going to pick up some road shows out there.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
So, yeah, Houston Media Critic says, I'm now convinced OKC knew something about Harden and trading him wasn't just about them not wanting to give him a larger contract. If it was really all about money, that's a big sign that winning is not that important to James. I think at the time, and now I think, and this is a second person who's going back to the whole trade from OKC thing now.
Mm-hmm.
I think... Look, at the time, you didn't know. First off, you didn't know he was going to become the regular season monster that he became. But yeah, that to kind of go back and look at that now, like it was some kind of like the OKC wasn't going to pay all three of those guys. They had to pick two.
I will say this,
and they wound up not paying any of them.
And I may have been. Well, they did pay Russ.
Yeah, and then got rid of him.
I may have been in the same position, like it is the GM of that team with those three guys. Everyone knew it was undebatable who the best of those three guys was, right?
Right. Right.
Kevin Durant is and was the best of those three players. When the history books are written, Kevin Durant is better than James Harden and Russ Westbrook. And if you're choosing between the other two guys, it made sense at the time, just given, like, you know, Russ's work ethic. You know, he puts out the appearance that he gives more effort than James does.
I think he does give more effort than James.
Okay.
Does.
Well, I'm saying if you were a guy looking from the outside trying to make that decision, I'd prefer the guy who I feel like gives max effort all the time.
Agree.
So I'm not saying that they knew what he'd turn it like. I don't think they knew that he'd suddenly become like the NBA scoring leader multiple times over and an MVP candidate every year. Otherwise, they probably would have stuck with him. But I do think that they knew that he wasn't as great as he could have been. Like that, he was maybe leaving some on the table.
And, you know, he was always the third dog there, and sometimes you get and you become the lead dog, and all of a sudden you put up ridiculous numbers. And let's not pretend like regular season James isn't a superstar.
He's good at sports.
I mean, you don't win an MVP like that if you're not great in the regular season. But, you know, we also see what his ceiling is in the playoffs. And at this point, your only option is you're going to keep shuffling players around, or you move him and you try something else. And I am always of the opinion you get rid of a guy before he's too old to get anything for him. But, you know, they're not going to do it. They're just going to shuffle the decks and nothing's going to change because this team is not going to be able to be good enough unless they can go find a third superstar. And there's no way in hell they're spending that kind of money. And they don't have the assets to do it anyway. Let's try Martin. What's up, Martin?
Martin?
Hey, Martin.
Sports
to you. Go.
Sorry. I just kind of wanted to give you guys a break from Rockets talk and figure out, you know, what's been your best series of the playoffs so far. There's been some not fantastic ones, but there's also been some good ones like Nuggets, Jazz, and things like that, and, you know, the emergence of Jamal Murray. I also wanted to get your thoughts on some of maybe the other coaches in the league, like Eric Spoelstra, like when LeBron, you know, a team to the finals with Miami and stuff like that. After he left, Spoelstra's actually been doing a pretty decent job there, and what he's done with the roster this year, it seems like he's, you know, done a really good job coaching. I wanted to get you guys thoughts on that, so I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, the best series so far has probably been one of the two Nugget series, either the Nugget series that's happening currently
that Boston, or the Toronto series one. Was pretty good.
It was good.
Yeah, because you had some last-minute shots both ways. Yeah, that. But this Nugget series is looking pretty good right now. Yeah,
I was probably one of the people fooled with Eric Spoelstra and thought that, I don't want to say fooled, I just assumed that Eric Spoelstra looked like a good coach because he had LeBron James and Dwayne Wade for a long time. Hmm. And it turns out Eric Spoelstra is a pretty good coach, and Eric Spoelstra is like the fact that you mention him brings us back full circle to the James thing and basically being able to decide who he wants to coach the team. There was a time when LeBron went to Heat management and said, hey, I want this guy out of here. And they told LeBron James, figure it out. It's going to work with him. And sure enough, they were right, and it worked with him. The Rockets management doesn't have the balls to do that to James. They don't have the balls to say, hey, figure it out. It was that way with McHale. It's that way now. It's basically, well, what's going to make you happy, James? What'll put a smile on your face? That's basically what it is.
Well, and that's the thing. As long as you're okay with that as a fan, then that's what you're going to get, right?
This is
what you're going to get.
I'm not a fan.
And you might as well just accept it because it's not going to change. And unless you really make the hard choice and say, all right, we're moving on from James. And then you're going to suck. You're not going to be, well, I don't know if you'll suck. You'll probably
hit an era. You'll hit an era of suck.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've still got Westbrook and you put a couple of decent players around him, you're still going to be right. I think you're going to be at the bottom of the bottom of the playoff ladder, but you'll be in the playoff.
I'd rather just suck.
Yeah, but see, what good does that do you? I mean, you don't have
you
picks.
Get a couple draft picks down the road. Well, I mean,
you got to get some picks back because you gave them all away.
Well, then, now, I mean, I would assume that's what you would get.
I'm guessing a lot of those are lottery protected. I'd have to go back and look. But, you know, but that's the thing. Otherwise, this is what you're going to be. Every year, they're going to make you think, oh, they might be able to pull this off. And then they won't. And that'll be the end of it. And we'll be having these same conversations next year. And I mean, they weren't supposed to beat the Lakers. I think only in the fans' mind did they really have a chance to beat the Lakers.
Yeah.
So I think that's where, yeah, I guess that's the people I'm looking to hear from is how do you feel about it now? And I guess red rowdy types. It's like, do you still think this team can get there with James and Russ and whatever you bring in and a new coach? Is that Hemp Hill? Is that what that says?
Yep.
Let's try that. What's up? Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Sports.
I'm going to go ahead and say it for some of the callers. They need to go on and move Harden. I will keep Westbrook. Yeah, hello?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Need to go on and move Harden for a lot of reasons. I know a lot of players don't want to come to Houston. And...
Yeah, I don't know about the players not wanting to come because James has gotten Chris Paul here. He has gotten Russell here. It just hasn't worked. So, I mean, that was partially him recruiting. But, I mean, the thing is you just have to decide, is this going to be good enough? And if it isn't, then you need to go a different direction. And if it is, I mean, it's just like Bill O'Brien. Are division titles good enough? Because that's what they are. They're a team that's going to win the division title probably. With, you know, 9 or 10 wins, and then they're going to lose to a better team. And maybe they win one playoff game, but then they'll get destroyed in the second one. That's what they are. So how do you change that? Well, in the Rockets' case, you probably got to start over with who your superstar is. And in the Texans' case, I think we all know where that starts and finishes. But if you do just well enough every year, I mean, I feel like we're looking at the same thing year after year. Just enough to say, you can't really get rid of Harden. What are you going to get for him? At some point, you got to make that choice. So,
I wonder if. Let me throw this out there, and you'll probably tell me I'm crazy, and that's okay.
You are crazy, but that has nothing to do with what you're going to say here.
But given what we've seen with the Bucks. And the Bucks are basically like Giannis isn't sure if he wants to be in Milwaukee long term. Now, Giannis will be a free agent after next season. And if he is really looking to get out of Milwaukee, and obviously the Bucks can't afford as a franchise to let him go for nothing. And they are aware that they're going to lose him, would it make sense to trade him away?
Yeah.
And if so, would it make sense to trade James Harden for Giannis? Now, obviously, it would have to be a sort of a sign-and-trade deal. And I'm sure the Bucks would hope to get something else. I mean, not that the Rockets have picks, but
if I'm the Rockets, I'll do a one-for-one right now, not worrying about him re-signing.
Well, you have to make money match. You can't make money match without him re-signing.
No, you just put another player in there somehow to make the numbers add up. I'm sure if you get on the trade machine, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily want him to sign an extension because guess what? If I'm taking one shot, worked for the Raptors.
Yeah.
And if, you know, he decides he wants to stay, great. If he decides he doesn't, if you don't win with him, then oh well. But if you do, I'll take that. I would take that gamble right now.
He's making 25 and 27 next year. He made 25 this year, 27 and a half next year. So if you were going to add another player, man, it's weird. I mean, it maybe have to be like a George Hill type guy, which would suck because he's got two more years on his deal. But that or maybe an Eric Bledsoe, which would also not be ideal, I wouldn't think. But it's not out of the question, I wouldn't guess.
No, I would certainly consider that.
And if you're the Bucks, it also makes sense because, well, guess what you're getting? You're getting a star in return, and you're at least getting something back. If you know for a fact that Giannis is leaving, that's the only way you do it.
Yeah.
Now, and it's sort of the way, like what's happening now with Giannis is what happened with Cleveland on LeBron's rookie deal. And they were in a position where if they traded him, they looked crazy because he was obviously the best player in the world already.
Right.
And Giannis has won back-to-back MVPs. So if they trade him now, their fan base is not going to be pleased no matter what. There's no way to spin it the right way. But the one thing that can be worse than that is just hoping that you're going to be able to convince him to re-sign, and then he goes off to Miami. That's right. The worst thing that can happen to you, and you get nothing.
Or Golden State.
Because then what do you become? What did the Cavs become the day after LeBron left? They became the worst team in the league.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So, all right.
Let's get into some football on the other side of
the
break.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to go through all the games, and lots of good stuff from yesterday. And no, it wasn't boring.
Bunch of boring-ass football. Ridiculously boring snooze fest. You know what I would have thought is boring, but I was pretty excited about it, and I'm pretty excited that it's happening. I'm probably going to get some new windows put in my house. Not just the window that my wife broke, but like we were going to get just that window replaced. But then we started looking at it, and it's like, well, what if we turn that into a giant picture window instead of like an old-fashioned up-and-down window? And then my wife got really excited about the idea of having all new, pretty, shiny new windows and saving a bunch of money on our electric bills. And next thing you know, it looks like I'm probably going to have a bunch of Allstate siding and windows put in my house. And the great thing is, I'm going to save that money on my electric bill. There's no leaking. There's none of that going on. They're built Texas tough for Texas weather. Rain, wind, hail, it's all covered. And because they're good guys, they're still offering that no interest for 2 years on any siding or windows. 30% off all window packages. $2,500 off all siding jobs. Home and virtual appointments are available. They're family run for four generations. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows for hurricane impact windows. Call today. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.